Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. John Andrew Holmes stated, "Never tell a young person that something cannot be done. God may have been waiting centuries for someone ignorant enough of the impossible to do that thing." Our guest today is one of those daring people who started early on in life, who has radically chosen to live his life sold out to God. And one of the things I love about him is his passion for God's word and his love for people Christ died to save. Neil Cole said, "If you want to win this world to Christ, you're going to have to sit in the smoking section." In studio, we have with us a man of God who's not afraid to sit in the smoking section if it'll bring one more person to Jesus. As usual, I like to pause just for a moment here at the beginning of our show to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing right now, whatever challenge that is before you, it may be dogging you and you may feel like it never goes away. Well, in the midst of that, for you to know how much God loves you, that he knows you, he knows your foibles, he knows your fears and failures, and in spite of all of that, his arms are outstretched. And get this now, that Jesus Christ loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. Amen. He shed his blood on that cross. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day, and the living Christ calls you to himself right now. Amen. This is a divine moment. There's a reason, divine purpose, why you're here and why you're listening. And it's a blessing to have you with us. Raised in Hawaii, David Waxer Tipton, a local Haole boy, grew up waxing surfboards for his dad and other surfers on the beaches of Oahu. You see, that's where he got his name, Waxer, at an early age. He was raised on the town side of Oahu near Papakolea. Waxer was immersed in Hawaiian culture and tradition, a way of preparing him for what he's doing today. He's pastored in churches in California, in San Diego, San Clemente, Santa Barbara, and in Hawaii on the islands of Molokai and Oahu. If you listen real carefully, you can notice that these are all great surfing locations. So anyway, who doubts that God gives us the desires of our heart? Well, Waxer's passion is exegetical teaching of the Word of God.
Yes.
Its practical application in evangelism and apologetics. He believes the Word of God should be educational, comforting, convicting, and fun. Mm-hmm. He completed his formal education through undergraduate studies at San Diego State University and Point Loma Nazarene College. Mm-hmm. He graduated from Fuller Theological Seminary and did his postgraduate work at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. He's married to Cindy. They have one mini lab dog named Kona. And since moving back to Oahu in August of 2004, Waxer and Cindy, they've been an integral part of planting the church One Love Ministries, faithfully relying on the Lord's wisdom, purpose, and direction for their life. That church has continued to grow and dynamically impacting the lives of people. And Waxer is also the overseer of Kalo TV. Pastor Waxer, welcome to our show.
Thank you, brother. Glad to be here. That's an exciting thing to hear. Just on those intros and those quotes you have, that just got me fired up already. I'm like, woo, just want to roll. I do want to make a shout out, a hausa, to the folks in Molokai, if any of them are listening, and to our ohana. One thing I need to update on your intro there is since that time that was written, Kona has since passed, and so we have two now. So I have a dog named Mango and a dog named Hayden. How's that?
Oh, Hayden Mango.
Hayden, yeah. So one is Hayden, one is Mango. Keeping it simple. Locals get them.
So we're waiting for Piri.
And Common, yeah. Exactly.
Waxer, where did you grow up? I mean, I mentioned Papakalea, Townside.
Right.
Take us back.
Yeah. Okay.
Tell us more about it and give us more background.
Well, shoots, I would love to. You know, the thing that you spoke about as far as the youth and the youth and being able to be challenged to take a new step and a new risk was reason why I was a youth pastor for so long. And I'll share that with you, with the folks. But yeah, for 23 years, I was a youth pastor because of what I encountered in my life. But my folks coming from the mainland didn't know anything about areas to live in. You know what I mean? So they don't know what's a more difficult environment from one to another. So they came out. My dad was asked to be the pastor, First Baptist Honolulu. So he came out, and there was a...
That's on Pensacola?
Yeah, Pensacola, okay. Kinau. Yeah, the round one. And so there was a family in the church that had a parsonage, you know, available in the Papakalea area. And so that is where we ended up. And so I found myself in a school being blonde hair, blue eyes, and I was one of three in basically the whole school, and the other two were Wahines. And so it was really interesting. You know, I stood out quite a bit. This was during the late 60s, early 70s, so a lot of the racial tension in America, you know, the Watts and all that kind of stuff. And so I like to make the comment, and it's not much of a joke, in the fact that the folks in Papakalea thought the word haole was the Hawaiian word for piñata. And so it was really interesting because you know, I had this dichotomy, Danny. I had this home life of this godly parents and this godly home that I would pray for any child to experience. And then I went out the door, in a sense, to hell, where I was in third grade before I realized my first name wasn't Effin and my last name wasn't Howley. I mean, I'm talking even teachers, bro. You know, I would be, you know, PE, and they'd be, I'll take Kaipo, okay, I'll take Kioni, okay, I'll take the F and Howley, you know, and the teachers never corrected, never nothing, you know what I mean? It just was part of the culture, you know, like I said, in the late 60s, early 70s, and it was just okay. And then just the dirty lickings, you know, to this day, I'm 48, you know, and I got going to the dentist just to get things fixed in my teeth and my nose, and I have a sternum and cracked ribs, and all this was just the blessings of being a holy boy. And yet, for the same reason, I mean, why am I not, you know, in therapy, needing all the kind of stuff that we hear people who have a brutal childhood? Well, God is the answer. Because, you know, at the same time, when all of this was going on the outside, I was in a home where, you know, we could, you know, when you're in the morning and you're trying to eat the cereal, you always try to read the back of the cereal box. Remember that?
Yes, yes.
You know, and especially, you know, the Captain Crunch, you know, you're trying to find where the captain was going, you know,
sometimes,
and all that kind of stuff.
Sometimes still today.
So you get kids. I don't get that cereal. My wife no buy. And so for us, we would try to read the cereal box, and my mom would come and she'd just pick them up, put them on the counter, and she opened up our daily bread, that little devotional thing, and would just go through that with my brother and I, discuss it with us, pray over us. And then as I'm ready to head out, I'd always try to dig out the door as fast as I can, and she'd reach and she'd grab me by the back of my t-shirt and pull me in, and she would look me in the eye and she'd say, "You're handsome, God and your father and I love you." And she would plant a wet one on me every single day of my life. I went out that door being told I was handsome and that God loves me and my mom and dad love me. And so I had this foundation of being told that I was precious and valuable in God's sight, and went to a world that was kapakahi. And you know what? Which one won? You know, it was truly the word of God, you know, the promises of God. While the world was saying stuff, there was an inner understanding that I was precious and valuable in his sight. I love to tell folks about my, quote, testimony, because a lot of times when you work with YWAM kind, students and such, you'll hear people say, "Oh, I didn't have a testimony." You know, because we tend to identify a testimony as something that it was drugs and party and this volatile lifestyle. And when you have a child that grew up in the youth group, you know, they tend to say, "Oh, I didn't have a testimony." And I grab them in the eye and grab them on both shoulders and I stare at them and I say, "Hey, that is backwards. You and I have a testimony. Everyone else has a confession." Because you see, I get to testify, Danny, that when I sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, I know what that means. because I know the sinner me. I know my thought. I know all the things. But that next line, I once was lost. I don't even know what that means. I have no clue what that means because, you know, saved at four. My father made me wait 2 years before I even get baptized at six to make sure I knew what I was doing. And I haven't known a day in my life without Jesus. And so as I've gone all the way through the whole, the volatile situations of the ethnic battles and all the stuff that went on through there, and then all the way through high school and the discovering of yourself in there and then college, the Lord has been with me every step of the way.
Okay. As you share that, and we can see what God has done, you know, in the process, mm-hmm. through the process, it's a marvel. I mean, anybody, they watch TV, you can see Waxer on television every day. I mean, but let's go back. What about anger?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, getting dirty lickings.
Oh, bro.
I mean, did you experience that? I mean,
that was my deliverance, Danny. That was what my deliverance was because, you know, you start to go through this, why me? You know, and it's like, hey, I didn't surround anybody's capital. I didn't steal anybody's state. I didn't have no gun. I wasn't alive back then. And yet everything from the birth of the sovereignty movement folks to just a lot of the kids, their dads, you know, in Papunkleya worked for, you know, a company or whatever that might have had Hawley management or whatever. And just the anger went down the stream. You know what I mean? So the point that I would walk to school and literally the miracle of the day is if I got my quarter to the teacher for lunch. That was the miracle. And I got to tell you right now, that was like 60% of the time. Only 60% did I ever get my quarter to the teacher. The other 40%, I got jumped before I even got to the teacher and my quarter was taken. And I'm like talking on the ground, kicked by three, four, five, six guys, beaten, called effing Howley. So I'm getting lickings, getting smacks there. And it's like, what did I do? You know, and so that was part of the process that, you know, you go home and you got this godly Christian family that's saying, oh, turn the other cheek. Or why did you get into a fight? You must have said something. And it's like, no, I didn't say anything. And so what happened is that they finally said, you know what, it's time for you to maybe learn how to protect yourself. So they took me down to the Nu'uanu YMCA and enrolled me in Aikido classes. Mm-hmm. And so my parents put me in there because my dad got kind of tired of putting steaks on my face. He wanted to put them on the plate. And so he just started saying, okay, well, maybe we need to do this. So I'm like any other kid. I'm taking my Aikido class, which was good. But then I'm looking across the hall. And across the hall, these guys are using sticks and doing all these kinds of fun stuff. And that was the Kung Fu class. That was the Mantis one. I'm like, oh, I like that. You know? And so as a typical young little lad, I lied to my mom. And I said, you know what? I want to take 2 hours of Aikido. And she said, oh, that's fine. And so then I went across the hall and I took Aikido and Kung Fu. And so I took them both simultaneously. So if you know both of those arts, you know, one is definitely more on the defensive and the other one is more on the aggressive side. So I began to gain in these skills, and especially being tall and skinny and limber, I began to find in my class excelling. And so first time, Danny, a situation arose, and I had the skills. It was whack, crack, bang, on the ground. And I realized this person was on the ground, and I had their hair wrapped in the back of my hand, and I was just slamming their face on the ground, nose, teeth, everything, and just going nuts. And then they pulled me up. And the teacher and the principal come running, and they just saw my face. And I was just like, wild man. I just, you know, snapped.
Pent up anger.
Just went boom. And you see, I realized something I had bottled anger. And bottled anger is power. You know, and I was powerful, and I was known, and there's this raging Howley. It was just like, ah, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's like I was your worst nightmare, a Howley with an attitude. You know, I was like, what? You want some of this? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And because I knew how to have this fighting. But I didn't realize something, Danny, that power comes, but it's cancerous. It takes more than it gives. Mm-hmm. And it was sucking the life out of me slowly on the inside.
Well, actually, we gotta talk more about this because I think someone listening right now is feeling that we're touching in, they're feeling like they're being touched in an area perhaps that hasn't been touched in a while. Or maybe it's kind of boiling over right mm-hmm. now. It's like a heated, bubbling brook mm-hmm. at this very moment. And it's a source of a lot of heartache. You know, sometimes we go down these paths, we do things, we vent, and then we live with guilt and regret, and we leave a lot of damage mm-hmm. because we're damaged. But you're here mm-hmm. because of something that Christ has done. It's not, and it wasn't just a one-time thing. It's a life experience that you have to share. It's like tapping into this reservoir of relational experience with Jesus.
Amen.
That you're now able to share. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, you're going to hear more from Pastor Waxer Tipton, a dynamic preacher and teacher of the Word, in-depth knowledge that he breaks down so easily. It's so simple to understand. A real mark of a gifted teacher. But it's a real thing, you know. Real life. Mm-hmm. And he's applying the Word of God to his life. And then, of course, through that, the Word of God is coming out, emanating out of him as he shares to you in ways that you can understand, embrace, and apply. We'll be back with more from Pastor Waxer Tipton. Stay with us.
On the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So how does God take someone who grows up in Hawaii, but because he's Haole? I mean, he experiences as a kid. He gets busted up time and again. And take that as a child. You can just imagine a child being beaten and feeling victimized, and all the hate and anger that begins to boil up inside. Which would happen to me and to you, and really to anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just be real honest here. That's what we're doing. We're talking heart to heart. Mm-hmm. But then to take a person like that who grew up in a really strong Christian home. But it was like two worlds. Mm-hmm. He said it's a dichotomy of two worlds. And to use him to be the kind of man of God that is impacting many lives, many, many, many lives today with the love of Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and I'm speaking about my featured guest today, Pastor Waxer Tipton. He's the pastor of One Love Ministries. In fact, to find out more, you can check out more about the church at onelove.org. That's onelove.org. And as you're tuning in, you might be saying to yourself, hey, okay, I caught the tail end of that last segment. Can I get the rest of the show? I want to hear the whole thing. Well, absolutely, you can. go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. We have free podcasts there. But of course, we're going to go deeper. And as we do, you might be listening and thinking, you know, my son needs to hear this, or my nephew, my niece, a friend, a family member needs to hear this. Well, send them the link. Send them to thegoodlifehawaii.org and this show, Waxer Tipton. A big mahalo to our sponsors. And just a quick word to let you know, your partnership with us is essential. We need your support so that we can take this program, as the Lord opens up opportunities for us to expand, to take this program. And if the Lord is speaking to your heart, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org, click our partners tab, and we have some information there of how you can partner with us to take the love of Christ, the good news, the hope of Christ to many, many others. Pastor Waxer, Okay, let's go back. We're talking about anger. Anger and what comes as a result of it and how detrimental it can be.
Right.
Take us back.
Well, you know, when you sit there and you feel this world of victimization, you know, it's like, why are you picking on me? You know, what did I do? And so you go from this sense of fear and panic and injustice, and then inside, as you mentioned, it begins to build into this point of rage. And I call it bottled anger. And like I said, I found it to be a source. And then I found this, recognized that this is something that is so common in Hawaii, is that when we walk around at like 80%, that it only takes 20% to snap. And that's where I was. I had this bottled 80%. And so it only took 20%, whether it was at home or anywhere else. I just snapped, punching walls, punching things all the time. Didn't take much to go. Where really the average person should be around 20%, you know, because we have agitation in life. But I was at the opposite. I was at the 80. And so it was just that quick to go. And so, like I said, I was starting to just throw back and looking for fights and looking for opportunities and things because I had this anger. And yet the thing that was so funny, Danny, is that as all this is going on, and I know this is going to minister to somebody listening, I was three different people simultaneously. I was the preacher's kid who still stood up the longest during the memory verse B and could tell everybody all the scriptures and so on and so forth. And I was the kid that would come home and, hey, Mom, how can I have a glass of milk? And I would go to school and I was potty mouth, what, you potty mouth want some of this? You know, and so I was three people, shallow and empty in all three. And I knew it. And I could just sense it, that I was just like a chameleon, flipping green with the green, brown with the brown, and just wherever I was being that individual. The whole time knowing that God loved me, but I had to take care of my world. That's how I felt. That Jesus was for eternity and the afterlife and with, quote, the special life, but the real life was about this hatred world that I lived in. And so my mom comes up to me one day and says, hey, how'd you like to go to the mainland for a camp? There's this camp going on over there and we'd like to send you. And, you know, honestly, I'm thinking of going, whoo, right on, California girls, all right, you know. And so I'm thinking, yeah, I'll go. And so I'm 15 years old and they send me on over to this camp. And sure enough, I get there and there's all these, you know, beautiful ladies. And I'm walking around going, oh, this is going to be a good week, you know. And again, I'm familiar with church. It's not an enemy hostile. I enjoy it. And I'm sitting there and the second night, brother's speaking about forgiveness. And he's teaching it on Matthew 18. And he starts talking about forgiveness. And then he looks all of us over. I can still remember to this very day. He leans right arm on the podium, looks at the audience. And he says, when you forgive someone, you release a prisoner. Now I hear that. And I'm thinking, all right, so if I forgive the Hawaiian guys for picking on me because I didn't do anything wrong, I didn't start anything, if I forgive them, then I will release them. And as I'm having this thought, he continues his sentence. You know how the mind goes faster like that. And so he says, when you forgive someone, you release a prisoner, and that prisoner is you. And bro, this tough kid just broke down and cried because it was all of a sudden in that moment I realized I was the prisoner. I was the one in bondage. I was the one held in bottled anger. I was the one always looking over my shoulder. I was the one not free to be me. I felt I had to be whatever crowd needed me to be. I needed to be tough guy, or I needed to be this or that. And so the Holy Spirit really began to break me. And then I realized in that end of that Matthew 18 passage, when Jesus talks about forgiveness, you know, we all know the story about the guy who, you know, owed $1 million and the Bible says he could not repay. And every time you see, he asked for more time, and yet the Bible said he could not. And if you ever study that passage, notice he asked for more time. And then the king says, I forgive you. So why did he go choke the guy that owed him $20? Because he was still trying to pay it back. He didn't hear that he'd been forgiven. He thought he'd been given more time. And beloved, if you're out there, you don't have enough time to make pono with God. You can't do it because you can't get perfection. Only God gives us perfection. Perfect forgiveness God offers you today. And that is why he says at the very end, he says, and listen, if you do not go and forgive your brethren as you have been forgiven, then you shall be in bondage. Now think about that. We are in prison. And that is when it says in that story, he says, take him and throw him in the debtor's prison. And I wonder how many folks today, like I was in that debtor's prison. Because I was holding on to, well, when they apologize, when they do that, when they make pono with me, then I will forgive them. Folks, as long as you hold on to that, you're the one in prison. And that's what I had to realize. And so that's the first part of the story. So I'll go outside by this big rock and I just cry. And I cry and I cry. And I'm just like, wow, Lord, thank you so much that you helped me understand that that is me. That I was the one that I had to be forgiven. And understand, he says, I forgave you the debt. Should you not also have mercy on those around you? Meaning those guys were giving me dirty lickings, not because of something I did, because of hurt in their heart. They were wounded. Their fathers probably gave them cracks when they came home, you know, and all these. So the hatred has just been trickling all the way down, and there needed to be a stop. And so I cried and cried and cried. So here's the thing. So now I'm on the plane flying back, and the Lord just said, so what are we going to do? I got my Bible open in my hand. I just start reading in Matthew 1, and I just start reading. And he says, you know, so what are we going to do? And I said, well, I know. From the story that you touched me and the speaker, I need to go I need to go forgive them. And so I need to forgive them. He says, and if you don't forgive your brethren, then you're in the debtor's prison. So I said, okay, I got to do that. So I'm doing that in my mind. And then the Lord says, do you really want to forgive them? And I'm like, oh yeah, Lord, I do. And then he says, okay, if you really do, then I need you to go ask them to forgive you. And I was like, huh? Lord, you remember, there's the one cracking me, eh? You know, and I mean, I could say the names right now of the guys and their brothers, but I won't. But, you know, we've all, you know, grown, you know, since then. But the Lord was saying, you know what? Anyone can come with a spirit of arrogance and go, you know what, Danny, I forgive you. You're a punk, yeah, but I forgive you. But that's not what God calls us to do. If you have a true spirit of humility, I needed to come up to you and say, you know what, Danny? I held some anger and bitterness, and I said some things about you and thought some things about you that were not right, and would you forgive me? And when I did that, there were some guys that were like, oh, yeah, we was just kids. Yeah, it's all porno. And then other guys, what, you like fight right now? What? You know, it wasn't up to their response. Mm. It was up to me doing what God had called me to do. But you see, the second part of that is what happened on the way home, because as God ministered that to me, I was then getting to Matthew chapter 7, the passage we all know, judge not lest you be judged. For the way in which you judge, so shall you be judged. So I'm reading that, and the Holy Spirit came upon me. Again, 15-year-old kid, and he comes on and he says, hey, what's the opposite of judge? And I started thinking, I go, I guess love. And the Lord said, good, put that back in the text. Love, and you'll be loved. For the way in which you love, so shall you be loved. And that was the challenge that God gave to me. He said, brah, go back and bring the aloha. And that's when I learned the power, instead of fighting, the power of being a clown, the power of putting a smile on people's faces, the power of love and laughter and acceptance. And that next year at school, it was so cool because, you know, everybody knows the toughest subject in high school is not algebra 2, it's lunch. That's the toughest hour of the day. Hmm. Who are you going to be? The rocks, the jocks, the bops, the knots, the tokers, whatever it is. Right. You know, where are you going to hang? And I could go by the chess club guys and go, hey, what's up? And go by the surfers, hey, what's up? And then and all the bratas and the mokes, hey, what's up? You know, and bring the aloha because I no longer, and here's the secret, I no longer was caring what they thought of me because I was now caring what I thought of them. And how can I bring the love, the joy of Jesus? And right now, if you're so concerned what others are thinking about you, including your husband, your wife, your friends, your coworkers, whatever, you're going to do it wrong because you can't please everybody all the time. And you're going to go to bed every night defeated somehow. You're going to buy your new shirt. Someone's going, oh, well, you got that, you know, whatever it is. But if you're today saying, you know what, I want to go out and bring God's aloha, then you go to bed every single night fulfilled because you did what you wanted to do, and that was bring joy, whether it's in the elevator, wherever. And that's the secret, and that's what began to snap.
Right, so right now, somebody, they're listening, and they might be feeling, you know what? This is a moment for me. You know, sometimes we don't reflect enough. Or we're so busy. Mm-hmm. We live frenetic lives. Our pace, the pace of life is just, you know, it's dizzying.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a pause moment.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say a prayer for someone right now who's mm-hmm. saying, you know what, I want to take that step of change. And I want to get out of myself. And I want to start looking at people and loving people.
Amen.
But I need help. I need to take that step. Can you lead them in a prayer? I mean, you're encouraging them, and then we'll go on. We'll take a quick break and come on. But why don't you lead in a quick prayer?
I do. But, you know, before I pray, I do want to say this one thing. Viktor Frankl wrote in his book, Man's Search for Meaning. And here's a man who suffered through Auschwitz. I mean, talk about a real reason to have bitterness. Here he watched the Nazis kill his entire family and his friend and his generation and his people. And he wrote this book, Man's Search for Meaning. And he says in this book, suffering ceases to be suffering when it finds meaning and purpose.
Wow.
Now think
That's
about
good.
That. Suffering ceases to be suffering when it finds meaning and purpose. That might be too deep for most to think about, so the best way to put it is this way. The Karate Kid. Remember, what was his first thing he was told? Hey, I want to learn to do karate. What does he say? Remember, Danny, what did he say?
Wax on, wax off.
So then he goes the next day, paint the fence. And the next day, sand the floor. You know, and he finally comes back and he goes, you know what? I'm out of here. Forget this. I wouldn't want to go fishing. He goes, oh, you karate training. You know, and he's like, oh, I'm gone. He says, Dando-san. You know, and he comes back. And all of a sudden, he says, wax on. And all of a sudden, he does it. And all of a sudden, he throws a punch. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
And he throws a kick and so forth. And all of a sudden, his face went from all anger. I'm the victim. I'm the one getting beat upon here. I'm being used. To all of a sudden recognizing that his master had been giving him strength and development and discipline and muscle reaction that was going to be used for the betterment of his skill. That is when you have to come to that epiphany that your God is not randomly having you sand floors. Mm. Whether it's you falling off a cliff, whether it's me being a human pinata, whatever the situation is, suffering ceases to be suffering when I realize that God gave me compassion. And as a kahu, I love looking at our church, and it is a total mixed plate. Our worship team, total mixed plate. Every ethnicity, every age, you got somebody who's a punker sitting right next to a grandma with a quilting. The reason being is because the sensitivity in my heart, by living on the other side of racism, I now know how to be gracious and kind and look beyond and not look at but look into people. And that is what God will want to give to you. You cease to be a victim, beloved, when you forgive. You cease because you now put the authority back, the driver's seat back in your hand, because once you forgive, now you're able to drive as God is calling you, and that is with aloha. And that's what I want to pray for you.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the author and the finisher. You are the Alpha and the Omega. Lord, you go before us and you're our rear guard. Lord, let those not just be phrases that we quote of Scripture, but the very belief that we know that, God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And Father, right now, there are some that are holding on to this bottled anger. And Father, they know it needs to go. They know it's cancerous. But the problem is, they know it. And because of that, they're familiar with it. There's more fear in letting go and forgiving than in holding on to this which they know is hurting. Right now, in Jesus' name, I pray you would break that. By the power of heaven and God above, that they would have faith in you, that suffering would cease to be suffering when they would find meaning and purpose. And that is that, God, you cause all things to work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And so, Father, I pray for deliverance. I pray for strength, that they would look not at the hand or what's in their hand, but look in the face of Jesus, Lord, and they would see and sense your love, that they would forgive right now and cease to be a prisoner, and they would be set free. For when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Beloved, I want you to know in Jesus' name right now that God says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so, Father, I pray they would find their rest in you, their step in you, whatever small step it needs to be. Let it be a genuine step. If today your heart right now is feeling, oh, this is too far, then I want to pray right now for you that you would say, God, give me the will. Give me the desire to first and foremost receive the love you've given me unconditionally. And if you start there, my dear one, start there and just saying, God, help me to hear your love. Then I encourage you next then to pray for the true desire to want to forgive. Pray the desire, Lord, give me the will to want to forgive these persons and this person. And then third, as you pray, you're going to find God bringing you to the next step, and that is then saying, God, give me the strength, for I want to, but I just can't on my own. And I'll let you know, my family, that as you do that, then the next thing you're going to know, you're going to find God's giving you that strength, because you're going to start to pray blessing on that one that's wronged you. And that's when you'll find yourself free. And so, Jesus, I pray right now that these steps, Lord, whether it be immediate or whether it be in time, that your children today would trust in the Lord and lean not on their own understanding, their own pain, their own hurt, and all their ways right now acknowledge you, knowing you will direct their path. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Wechter. Pastor Wechter Tipton is a pastor of One Love Ministries. You can find out more at onelove.org. That's onelove.org. We're going to take a quick break right now, and when we come back, I want to find out, don't you? Hey, how did you come up with that name for a church? One Love. What is that? How did you get that? Where's the inspiration? But more than that, how did you know you were, you're a guy who experienced all kinds of forgiveness, you're forgiving others, God is giving you depth, but, you know, how did you get called to the ministry, to the ministry that you're doing? And then you've been to so many different places too. Let's talk about that when
all
we
right.
come back, Waxer.
Love to.
Pastor Waxer Tipton, he'll be back with more. Stay with us.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
When the Lord wants to do something in a community, in a society, in a state, in a town, God will look for someone. God will look for someone that he can implant this vision into them, and they will actually live it out, and by faith they will take steps, and things will begin to transpire. It becomes very dynamic. And, well, that's the story of our guest today. His name is Pastor Waxer Tipton. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. And if you want to find out more about our show, other resources that we make available, other programs that will definitely encourage and inspire you, people of different backgrounds, setbacks, and how they've made comebacks. Well, you can go to thegoodlifehawaii.org and find out more about, listen to programs of our guests, find out their backgrounds, and other resources that we make available to you. Pastor Waxer Tipton has talked to us about a life, really a painful upbringing. And yet, through that, through anger and rage, forgiveness and love and hope. He's now pastor of a church called One Love. Pastor Waxer, how did you get that name, One Love Ministries?
Well, the interesting thing is that we started a ministry when we were still in Santa Barbara. My wife and I, towards college-age folks, and called it Reality. You know, and it comes from the scripture, the reality belongs to Christ, you know, in Colossians 3. And so when I came out here, my first thought was to do a reality out here, and had gathered, you know, about four or five college students together. And so we were talking about, you know, what would we call this ministry? And one of the students brought up, actually one of the sub-leaders, his name was Mackie, and he's the one that said, you know, what about One Love? You know, because that seems to be the theme of what, you know, you're talking about and so forth and all the things that are in there. And it just, it's one of those things when you hear it, you just, it just resonates with your spirit and you just go, yeah. And the reason is because, as you kind of said, I've had a wonderful eclectic background in ministering, so that I really seen every different group and seeing the body of Christ who's alive in them. And so I worked at a Nazarene, a Baptist, Presbyterian, all these other different churches while I was in seminary doing my internship and such. So for me, Christ is first, the rest is details. I'm not going to major in the minors. You know, and the scripture says one faith, one hope, one Lord, one baptism, so one love. You know, and hey, if there's a, you know, a couple of Rasta or New Agers out there like, wow, it's like One Love, man, you know, and they want to come, awesome, check it out. But, you know, that One Love is really the Lord who gives us love for one another. And so that's really what we seek to emphasize there, and that is the oneness of Him.
Now, you're a pastor.
Yeah.
You're also an apologist and an evangelist. How, and they go together in some way, of course, all three. But how did you see or begin to realize that, wow, God has really given me a heart. I really want to reach people with Christ's love.
Okay.
How did you discover that?
I came in kicking and screaming, bro. Seriously, I'm a preacher's kid. So I saw the ministry and didn't want it. People would come up to me all the time and say, hey, you want to grow up and be a pastor like your dad? I was like, sure, as if. You know, I want to go to work at 8, come home at 5, hug my wife and go surf. You know, that's kind of what I wanted to do. But as the rest of that story goes that we were sharing before the break, you know, I come home at 15 and literally I think maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks after I'm back, the Sunday school teacher doesn't show up. He was kind of our youth pastor / Sunday school teacher at our Baptist church down there. And we're all sitting there. 9 o'clock comes around, 9:10, 9:15, 9:20. No teacher. Everyone's just playing ping pong and such. And so I don't know what got over me, but I'd say, hey, guys, grab your Bibles and sit down. And everyone's like, huh? I go, yeah, grab your Bibles and sit down. And so my friends, there was like maybe 15 of us, 20, and they sit down and I take my Bible. I open it up. It falls in Revelation 3:20. And I taught for 30 minutes on that verse. Just, phew, Holy Spirit just took it. And my friends, when I was done, they were like, oh, wow, that made more sense than the other guy, you know? And they were all, you know, like saying, hey, you ought to do this. So I went home and I told my dad what happened. And he's like, wow, well, go ahead and prepare for next week and we'll try to find out what happened with so-and-so. And so they called and called and called. And he was in the military and he got one of those immediate transfers and needed. And that was the one call he forgot to make, was to the church. And so then he realized and he called them back. So long and short of it is that I started teaching every Sunday, pretty much since I was 15. And so the Word of God was there, and I taught all. I didn't have a driver's license yet, and I was kind of the leader of the youth group, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that was all the way through here. And then when I graduated here and then went to the mainland, I kind of liked the anonymity. I wasn't Bill Tipton's son anymore. Every time I went somewhere, like, oh, Bill Tipton's son, little kind, you know, and expectations. And so I went to this church, this college group, College Avenue, down in San Diego, and I just was sitting there going, oh, this is nice. You know, coming in, even if I come in 5 minutes late, you know, whatever, or as soon as it's over, I can just pack my Bible and
no pressure.
And heli on, no pressure, no responsibility. I'm like, this is nice. But as this is going on, this is for like about 2 months, and I started feeling this feeling. First month, it was like nice, but the second month, I started feeling the Holy Spirit saying, oh, you're not supposed to be sitting here. You're supposed to be up there. And I'm like, no. And I kept saying, no, that's just pride or whatever. That's, you know, and I just kept defeating it, and this would not go away. So, Daniel, I can tell you where I was in San Diego, walking right by this fence, going to my car. And I kind of said to the Lord, okay, I said, Lord, if this is you, then you make it happen, okay? If I'm supposed to be teaching again, you make it happen. Because I was now studying to be a psychologist. I didn't want to go into ministry. I wanted to be a counselor. I didn't yet know that I had the gift of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment. I didn't really know those things. But I knew that my friends, I was the Dear Abby, and I was bringing scripture and helping friends. And so that's what I wanted to be, a guy who could help out the church. And so I just said, okay, Lord, whatever. You know, this is what you want. You make it happen. Well, all right. So here we are. I'm in college at San Diego State, standing in line at the cafeteria, and these three guys are in front of me having this conversation out of a religion class. And all of you out there going to UH, listening to me right now, you know how confusing those guys can be. You know, there's even a professor out there in a religion department that starts his day off saying, today we're going to try to make sense out of nonsense. That's how he describes faith, people of faith, you know. And so these guys were totally confused. And you got to realize, Danny, my hair is blonde. It's almost at my pecs. Okay, so I got this long blonde hair, long sleeve T-shirt, you know, faded jeans, you know, totally early 80s surfer. And I'm in line, and these guys are going, wow, he was saying da-da-da. And I said, excuse me, you know, you're actually taking Paul out of context, because what was going on in Ephesus was such and such because the goddess of Diana and da-da-da-da. And I'm explaining all this stuff because here I have a dad that has a double doctorate in archaeology and theology. So I grew up in a home that the conversation at the dinner table was a little different, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't realize all of this was in me. It was all packed inside, you know, all my experiences, travels with my parents and such. And these guys, same thing. They turn around and look at me and they're like, wow, that made way more sense than the 2 hours we had with Professor So-and-so. Who are you? And then one guy says, man, do you teach a Bible study somewhere? Because I would go. And it was kind of like I look up at the Lord and I'm like, oh, you know, so that really birthed in me starting a ministry called Surfers for Christ. And then Surfers for Christ began to grow. And then that same thing the Lord kept saying in my heart, if that's supposed to be you, I mean, if that's you, you need to be up there. And I kept saying, okay, Lord, if that's you, that you want me up there, then you need to make it happen. I just kept throwing it back to him. So I thought doing this surfer study on Tuesday night was going to be, I mean, it went from four guys to 14 to 40. It just grew. And so obviously the Lord was showing a gift of teaching that I didn't know, but there it was. And then feeling that I needed to be up there, I said that to the Lord again, and lo and behold, that next week, a church in La Jolla Presbyterian, calls me up and says, hey, we've got one of these young men that goes down to your surfer's study, and we need a youth pastor. Would you like to come? And that was it. And then the funniest part of that, so then I say, okay, Lord, and then I go and I start doing the youth pastorate there. God is working. We're having a great time. 3 years there, wonderful ministry. And then again, the next level. It's always fun with God. Because then they said, you know what, we see God's hand on your life, and you need to go to seminary. He wants you to go to seminary. And I pulled the lint out of my pocket, literally, with the pastor. I'm saying, and I pulled the lint out. I'm like, with what? You know, and I showed it to him. You know, I was just graduating from Point Loma at that time. And so I said, if God wants me to go to seminary, you know, that's up to him. And so I took a walk the next morning in my quiet time, and I sat on the sand, and I said, you know what, Lord, if you want me to go to seminary, you got to pay for it, because I don't know where that would come from. I mean, I'm barely finishing college, you know, and being able to pay the bills there. So about 3 weeks later, Danny, here I am with the youth group, and one of the guys comes in and says, hey, Pastor wants you to bring the youth group into the service, you know, because we met simultaneously. And I'm like, okay, they must be having some special speaker or whatever. So we bring all the youth group in. We're all hanging in the back. And then all of a sudden they say, oh, and Waxer, would you come on up to the stage? I'm like, huh? You know, kind of like what I did now. And they have me come on all the way up to the stage. And they're like, you know what? You've been such a blessing to our church body and our families and so forth and the kids and da-da-da. And we've taken a love offering. And we want you to know that we want you to go to seminary and we'll pay for it.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it was just kind of like one of those, wow, you know. And that was when you know. When you know, the Lord just says, this is what I want you to do. And so, like I said, it wasn't something that I said, here's my 5-year goal and plan. It was just being faithful to the day, and God took care of the rest.
And you've experienced not only affirmation, but through that, fruit has been born, really, you've touched lives. Lives touch other lives.
Amen.
And Matthew 28 becomes a reality. Mm-hmm. Disciples of Jesus Christ are made. We're going to take a quick break right now, actually. When we come back, I want to talk about how you're not only a voice for the Lord, but you've been given a vision and you've taken steps of faith, and the Lord has given you an opportunity to create access for other voices of the Lord to proclaim the word, to teach the word, to really, in many ways, make disciples and potential disciples of an entire state. When we come back from our break, let's talk about that. What kind of faith and vision takes to do that? What kind of partnerships? What kind of opportunities exist? Because, gosh, I mean, to connect with a guy like you, just like that church did, they've essentially held hands, affirming what God was doing, and their ministry expanded because of what they did for you.
Amen.
There are opportunities that abound that can expand other ministries as well. Stay with us. We'll be back with Waxer Tipton.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii radio show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Pastor Waxer Tipton. You're listening to The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. To find out more, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. Pastor Waxer, discipleship, and let's talk about discipleship and growth and even television ministry.
Yeah. Well, as you know, Kalo was a station here in Hawaii, and the owner of the station approached and said, hey, you know, we really want to sell the station because of some ministry we want to do in Tonga. Do you know anyone? And so I kind of really started reaching out to the brothers and saying, hey, this is the only locally owned TV station here on the island that is completely controlled here, where we can reach out to people of Hawaii, Hawaiian style. And had taken that step of faith and then have prayerfully been seeking the Ohana of Hawaii to come alongside, because what's so great about television and radio, as you know, it goes out where church says come in. And so when we have a church, we're trying to invite people to it, invite them to. But what happens is that the television and the radio, they go into people's homes who would maybe not darken the doors of a church.
Yes.
And the testimonies that we have been getting, Danny, just absolutely blow me away in twofold. Number one, it's either pastors or associate leaders that come up and see me in Home Depot and like, oh, bro, I love the message, bro. I stole them. I used them on my – and I laugh and I say, that's right. I stole it too, you know, and we'll laugh. And so discipling other brothers and sisters, and that's why it's where the word is heard. But at the same time, we are having people who were suicidal, people who have just changed the channel, people who have been running from God for 16 years, drunk, and they just went to flip the channel and it wouldn't go past 25 and it just stayed there. And the Holy Spirit stuck on and they just got on their knees and they cried and called up the station and asking. So what I love about that is whether it be the gay community or the Buddhist community or others that may think that we don't love them or we even hate them, they can at least in the safety of their own home hear the love and the gospel and the teaching of Jesus Christ unadulterated. And like I said, that's where the word is heard. And we do worship and word. And that's it, because God says his word doesn't return void. And that's how discipling, I believe, because he says it doesn't return. So if I focus on the word and get the stations and invite other local, you know, pastors and ministries, here's a way that we can equip one another. Danny, we've even put together an entire fallout procedure, whether it be the next tsunami, earthquake, whatever it is, met with EdTech Shara. Because, you know, when the tsunami was coming, the Japan one, everyone was fear. Every station was all about fear. Look at the size of the wave. Look at this. There was no one that was saying, okay, now here's what to do. Families get together and pray. Churches on the Eva side, meet in Anakuli, bring your generators because people with dialysis are going to need help. Bring your food from your food banks. And so we're even thinking and developing how can we coordinate to save lives, survive to serve, and be a ministry.
Now, if somebody's listening and they say, okay, I want to find out more, how I can be a part of Kalo TV, maybe the Lord is leading them to support you and join in and say, hey, I want to resource this great ministry. How can they do that?
Okay, well, kalo-tv.org is definitely the website to check into. And as well as on Kalo, it has the phone numbers. I don't have those in front of me right now. But I do know that we need the partnership of the community for it to work. Yes. As you know, this station as well, your program as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
You know, the many hands makes light work.
Absolutely.
And believe it or not, there is a small, small amount. I'm talking 162 folks right now that are helping keep that station afloat. And we can't do what God has called us to do until we're able to even just pay the electric bill.
I'm glad you mentioned it, because people could have the perception that it's a lot more strongly supported than it actually is. So 162 people, we've got to get that number
Amen.
Higher.
Amen.
And the Lord is speaking to you. You have means, you have resources. Maybe the Lord is just asking you and maybe directing you to partner with, invest in lives.
Amen.
Connect with kalo-tv.
Yeah, dot-tv.org.
kalo-tv.org. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been a privilege, Pastor Waxer, to have you with us today. I want to say it again, kalo-tv.org to find out more about Kalo TV.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Waxer, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your heart, your life. There's so much more to it. Somehow I'm wondering, you know, if we got more to talk about in the future, brother.
Would love it. Would love it. Anytime, my friend. And I just want to do a shout out to the audience. Thank you for listening, and thank you for seeking to be edified through Danny in this program. God bless you, my friend.
In the next few days, you're going to hear stories, other stories from people like Pastor Waxer. I want you to invite someone to listen in and be inspired. You know, this program is made possible because of financial supporters. And if you'd like to be one of those, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus Christ with someone near you. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined by our featured guest today, Pastor Waxer Tipton, onelove.org. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll